Hello, and welcome to the Lancet Gastroenterology and Hepatology podcast. I'm Laura Feetham, Deputy Editor, and I'm very pleased to be joined today by Dr. Rahim Naimi from the Department of Medical Gastroenterology and Hepatology in Rigshospitalet, Copenhagen, Denmark, who's one of the authors of a paper recently published in the journal which trialed a new drug for the treatment of short bowel syndrome. Dr. Naimi, thanks very much for joining me. First of all, please could you explain a bit about the prevalence of short bowel syndrome and some of the problems faced by patients with the condition?
Thank you, Laura, for having me. Sure, I'd like to start by defining short bowel syndrome, which will be important for the rest of our talk. So short bowel syndrome is a state of malabsorption caused by extensive surgical bowel resection, resulting in reduced intestinal absorptive surface area. So depending on the remaining intestinal function, patients with short bowel syndrome can be divided into two groups. Patients with intestinal insufficiency who suffer from mild degrees of malabsorption, which can be managed by increasing oral intake, or hyperphagia and adapt metabolically or pharmacologically. And then we have patients with intestinal failure who need parenteral support in order to maintain health. As for the problems or symptoms, we can talk about malabsorption-related symptoms. And here we talk about malnutrition, electrolyte imbalances, diarrhea, which can be up to 5 kilo per day or even more, and dehydration that can result in insufficiency or even failure of other organ systems. And here we talk about kidneys, liver, heart, bones, and immune system. And then we can talk about parenteral support-related challenges in patients who receive parenteral support and having intestinal failure. So often 10 to 12 liters of parenteral support are required per week, and infusions can take up to 10 to 12 hours at a time. And usually patients take this parenteral support overnight, which can cause disturbed sleep and nocturnal urination. Also, these patients are in risk of repeated hospitalizations, not least due to life-threatening complications such as catheter-related sepsis, venous occlusion, metabolic complications, renal and liver failure. So generally, the quality of life in these patients is affected, which is not surprising. As for the second part of your question about prevalence of short bowel syndrome, the correct answer would be that the true prevalence of short bowel syndrome is not known. That is due to the lack of good patient registries. However, it can be estimated based on the number of patients with intestinal failure who receive parenteral support, and we're talking about long-term parenteral support here at home. Because we know that at least half of these patients receive parenteral support due to short bowel syndrome, but even there, we don't have robust numbers. So in the U.S. and Europe as a whole, there is a wide range in intestinal failure prevalence, ranging from somewhere between from 3.25 to 80 patients per million, the highest number being in Denmark, actually, which is not surprising since we are among the centers with longest duration of home parenteral support experience. In fact, we are celebrating our 50 years of experience with home parental support next year, which we are proud of and looking forward to.
So you and your co-authors tested a new treatment for short bowel syndrome. Please could you explain how you tested the drug and what the results showed?
Sure. In recent years, GLP-2 or glucagon-like peptide 2, which is normally secreted from the L cells in the distal intestine, has received special attention in the treatment of patients with short bowel syndrome. It seems to have the potential to reverse or ease some of the pathophysiological consequences of short bowel syndrome. GLP-2 has been shown to inhibit gastric hypersecretion and emptying, stimulate intestinal blood flow, increase intestinal barrier function, and improve nutrient and fluid absorption in both preclinical and clinical short bowel syndrome settings. We have already a GLP-2 analog on the market, which is teduglutide, which was approved in 2012 by EMA and FDA for the long-term treatment of adult patients with short bowel syndrome. And teduglutide was also approved by EMA in 2016 for the treatment of children aged 1 year and above with short bowel syndrome. But although we have teduglutide, there are still unmet needs. Teduglutide is provided as a lyophilized powder. It has a half-life of 1.3 hour in patients with short bowel syndrome, which is longer than the half-life of native GLP-2, which is approximately 7 minutes. But it still requires daily injections with many preparation steps, and it has a high cost of approximately $350,000 US per patient per year. So the GLP-2 analog we have used in our phase 2 trial is called glepaglutide. It has a half-life of approximately 50 hours, which is much longer than teduglutide. It is a ready-to-use product, which forms a depot at the site of the injection and has the potential for once or twice weekly dosing. So the objective of our trial was to evaluate efficacy, safety, and tolerability of three different doses of glepaglutide, the three different doses being 0.1 mg, 1 mg, and 10 mg. The trial design was a proof of concept, dose-finding, single-center randomized phase 2 trial. Glepaglutide was given as subcutaneous injections. So patients were randomized in a crossover fashion to receive two of three different doses of glepaglutide for 3 weeks. We had a washout period of 4 to 8 weeks in between the two treatment periods. And we measured intestinal function using the gold standard metabolic balance studies before and after each treatment period. So we included adults between ages of 18 and 90. They were stable short bowel syndrome patients with their last intestinal resection above a year. And they were the patients who had at least a fecal output of 1,500 grams per day. And they were also required to have been stable under a parenteral support and body weight. So for the results, we found that glepaglutide at in doses of 1 milligram and 10 milligram decreased fecal output by 592 and 833 gram per day, corresponding to a relative reduction of 23% and 30% respectively. There was no changes in the 0.1 milligram dose group. Also, we saw that fluid absorption was improved, again, in 1 and 10 milligram dose groups, and urine discharge was also increased in 1 and 10 milligram dose groups. We saw also that intestinal absorption of electrolyte and micronutrients were improved, and body weight increased by 2 kilos in 1 and 10 milligram dose groups just when being on 3 weeks of treatment. So no changes were seen in 0.1 milligram dose group. As for the adverse events, all of our patients experienced at least one related adverse event. No patients died during the trial. 4 of our patients, of these 18 patients included, experienced related serious adverse events. The most common adverse events were injection site reactions and stomach complications, which occurred more frequently with increasing dose. This was followed by peripheral edema and polyuria, which occurred more frequently with active dose groups of 1 milligram and 10 milligram. And then we had the other symptoms or adverse events, which were abdominal pain, nausea, abdominal distension, fatigue, dizziness, and vomiting, which occurred without any clear dose-response relationship. In fact, many of these side effects occurred more frequently with 0.1 milligram glepaglutide, where we didn't see any effect. So the conclusion this trial was that glepaglutide at all three dose levels was observed to be safe and well tolerated in this trial. And in daily doses of 1 milligram and 10 milligram, it was associated with decreased fecal output and increased intestinal absorptions in patients with short bowel syndrome. So the AEs or adverse events were comparable to what we already know from treatment with native GLP-2 and teduglutide. So this was a bit short about what we did and what came out of that.
So given the results of this trial, what do you think are the future research directions for short bowel syndrome, and what knowledge gaps still need to be filled?
There are many things that can be and should be addressed in future. Unfortunately, short bowel syndrome is an orphan and neglected disease. Even in developed countries, healthcare professionals know too little about this condition and treatment possibilities. So patients with short bowel syndrome and intestinal failure have little or even no access to treatment in terms of optimal parenteral support, which can be life-saving for these patients. And even today, these patients can die due to the consequence of short bowel syndrome. The number of patients with intestinal failure in Denmark is approximately 15% of the number of patients requiring hemodialysis for chronic renal failure. And we think that in countries where the number of patients with intestinal failure is less than 10% of the number of patients requiring dialysis, there is an underdiagnosing and undertreatment of this patient population. So more research and awareness in the future about this condition and treatment modalities are more than welcome. As for the treatment, we can talk about medical and surgical treatment modalities, As for the medical, peptide hormones have definitely a place. Currently, as I said before, we have one drug on the market, teduglutide, and other GLP-2 analogs are under development. As for glepaglutide, we have phase 3 trial already initiated, which is an international multicenter randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial to evaluate the efficacy and safety of glepaglutide in patients with short bowel syndrome. And also we think that there is treatment potential in other peptide hormones, such as GLP-1 and PYY and DPP-4 inhibitors. We have done studies in our center with GLP-1 and DPP-4 inhibitor, showing that these peptides might also help patients with short bowel syndrome. And also combination therapies could become medical treatment options, which need further research. As for the surgical treatment options, I'm probably not the right person to comment on that, but